Mr. Tandy?
Tansy.
Tansy. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Michael Tansy. I'm the current property owner. I've read the staff comments on my letter that was submitted to you, and I stand by the letter submitted to you. And staff is correct that my letter addressed items beyond this meeting. Since I've owned the property, I've made the property available to the Castle family to do any testing or remediation they may wish to do. At various times, staff has been told that they were denied access, but they have not been. There are several letters from my own attorney allowing them to have access at any time. Since I own the property, I have implored staff to take action to bring this into compliance. When I bought the property, I investigated prior to my purchase, and I saw that there were outstanding orders from the Water Resources Board and a settlement agreement that required cleanup. That was my assurance that I would not be buying a train wreck when I bought this property. I expected that the state would uphold the law and require the culpable party to complete its cleanup as it was ordered to do. As a result, I've received a lien against that property from the state for oversight. And that oversight apparently is part of the state law that says oversight charges go to the property, not to the perpetrator. And I would implore the state to move ahead to have this property cleaned up, because the oversight charges are accruing to me, even though I had nothing to do with creating the harm. And the longer this case takes, the greater will be the cost of oversight. A couple points that were brought up. I was in a lawsuit in this during my ownership. The Castle family sued Mr. Hui and named me as a party. I was named as a person who would benefit from unjust enrichment. The idea being, if they cleaned up the property, I would be the beneficiary. Therefore, I should be sued. Along the way, I was discharged from that suit. But during that suit, the Castle family's expert testified that the property could be cleaned up for less than $500,000. That was, I believe it was January of this year or December of last year. I did not hear that testimony, but I saw the correspondence about that suit. Regarding the purchase of this property by Hui, during that suit I was privy to certain information. And I believe, I'm going by my memory, but I believe that the sale price to Hui was $700,000 or $800,000. It was a minimum of $700,000, but it may well have been $800,000, despite your hearing that it was $100,000. Regarding the cost to complete cleanup, I'm not sure what that is. I have talked to consultants, and I've had various amounts quoted to me. The consultants are telling me that they have to do a complete study, have a plan that's approved, then do an assessment of what the cost will be to implement that plan. I've heard numbers all over the board. I've seen numbers as high as $2 million. The lowest I've heard is that was offered by Castle's expert, which was under $500,000. My own consultant that I currently have used thinks that it's probably somewhere in the range of $1 million to $1.5 million. But he won't know until he knows what exactly the requirements are and what the plan will be that gets implemented. If you have any questions of me, I'll be glad to.
Okay. I do have a question maybe for you,
yes.
Ms. Buchanan. Do you know if there's ever any insurance on the property? There's no insurance? Okay.
Mr. O'Malley?
Thank you. And have you been able to contribute to helping on the cleanup during your ownership? I understand the Castle family may have spent up to $2 million towards cleanup in the past. I don't know. Have you invested any money in trying to help with the cleanup since your ownership?
Well, there's a couple parts to your question. One of them is, have I invested any money? Yes, I have. Toward cleanup, I can't say toward cleanup. All these consulting fees and investigations don't do anything about cleanup. It's just money gets spent. Mm-hmm. I personally have spent somewhere around $100,000. But in terms of contributing, it's not my intention to contribute. When I bought the property, I saw that these people were under orders to clean it up. I wasn't buying the property in order to engage myself in somebody else's cleanup activity. I didn't want to take on their problem. And along the way, I have been advised that I would do well not to be involved because I could be accused of exacerbating the problem or making it worse or who knows what, or assuming liability for the problem. I've been told that I should really stay away from it until the responsible parties take care of it.
Have you filed all required reports during your period of ownership?
No.
And is there any particular reason for that?
Again, my reason is because I was on the assumption that the people who created the problem were the people responsible to fix the problem, and I saw that there were orders that existed for them to clean, to file reports.
So let me ask staff clarification. It seems like monitoring and the reports is a different issue than the cleanup issue. And who is responsible for filing the reports?
They're all responsible.
They're all responsible. Thank you. And just one last question for our attorney, because I don't want to pursue any questions if it really is not in our frame of reference to determine whether he understood what he was getting into at
right.
purpose, and if there's any agreements, it's not under our jurisdiction.
Yeah, only today it's only before you whether the people named that were in the parties to the settlement agreement violated the agreement. Not there is a new, fairly new cleanup and abatement order that Mr. Tansey has been added to because as the owner of the property under Water Code Section 13304, he is a person who, quote, caused or permitted a discharge by owning the property with knowledge of its condition becomes a responsible party for that. But that's a different issue because that's a different order, different settlement agreement. I mean, different, you know, it's not the settlement agreement, so it's not really relevant for today.
So every, under state law, every owner is responsible for cleanup and for filing reports. You can't shift that responsibility.
In this case, there's an order that includes the property owner, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Shellcross.
Question for staff. This alleged $200 million that the Castle family spent on cleanup, is there a cleanup plan? I mean, what did they do with $2 million? Sounds like a lot of money. Should have been a lot of cleanup going on.
During one of the previous cleanup orders, they were ordered to do soil excavation and disposal offsite and install a pump and treat groundwater system. And those were running for some time and have since been dismantled, dismembered, and discontinued.
Okay, thanks. And is there a plan, a current plan, for cleanup plan?
That is one of the dates that's in the most recent CAO that was issued is to submit plans for groundwater and soil remediation.
Thank you.
I do have one thing that I failed to say, and that is I think you've discussed it here, but I don't think that it would be proper use of any technique to have a responsibility and then simply be able to find somebody to assign a deed, and that absolves one of the problem. I don't think that's what your intention is, and I don't think that should be a burden that I should bear, that if a contract between those two parties fails because one or the other was not qualified to enter into the contract, that burden shouldn't shift to me or to the state. And what I'm referring to is when Castles made an agreement with Hui and said Hui agreed to indemnify them, if Hui refuses or is unable or is simply not qualified in the first place, that should not absolve Castles of the responsibility, nor put that responsibility on me or say I should be bankrupt, shouldn't be on the taxpayers. that should be an agreement between those two parties and not all the rest of us.
And I just want to add that is not the issue before the board today,
okay.
But so thank
that
you
that was
for
just
that
raised
comment,
as a reason
right.
why they should not be held responsible.
Yeah, okay.
And all that we're really looking at, Mr. Tansey, is whether there's been a violation of the settlement agreement at
right.
this point. And I think that from what I'm seeing, perhaps we'll let the next phase determine what the penalty, if any, should be for that and how it should be allocated. And you may be right, you may be wrong on some of these things, but if there's an agreement and there's state law that goes into effect that, you know, mandates certain requirements, that could supersede the agreement, could be. But we're not going to get into that stuff here. There's nothing for us to
yeah.
do with that.
I understand.
Yeah. Mr. O'Malley?
Well, Mr. Shellcross's question leads me to another question. It sounds like there was a program in place that was working on the problem, and at some point in time it stopped and was actually reversed. And I'm curious, at what point in ownership was this cleanup process stopped, and what was the reason for that?
I believe that it was when we transferred the property to his partner, Mr. Mangano. Mr. Mangano, we've been unable to find his location, and I believe the Wees and Castle family have also failed to find him. I don't think Mr. Tansey has successfully found him, and he essentially skipped out on the property, and it went into foreclosure.
Okay, so during the Castle ownership, there is evidence that they did spend some funds and attempted to do some cleanup.
Yes, there were periods of times where the Castles were involved in cleanup.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Then from a practical standpoint, where do we go from here with respect to getting the place cleaned up?
That's what the recent cleanup order addresses.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So we need a Mr. Jeffries. You're just reaching for your...
I'll move. Are we ready for a motion?
Yes.
I didn't fill out a card, but I'd like to just make a couple comments. I'm Jamie Castle.
Okay.
James Castle, one of the... in regarding your questions concerning how much money was spent, was actually closer to $3 million. If you want, I can itemize each and every bit of it right here. But it all did get put into that property.
Okay.
We had a $1.1 million characterization of the parcel. We had 23 wells developed. We had a water treatment system put in, pneumatic. And that ran for over 2 years. I don't know why. I know you're saying we only did three quarterlies. Well, we never missed a quarterly. So I don't know how you only got three. But anyway, that's a different subject. So besides that, we removed all the soil. The site exists in two parcels. They put a road, the City of Morgan Hill, down the center of the parcel. So we cleaned up one side. We moved all the dirt out of there. It was contaminated. And we got a letter from the board saying that for all practical purposes, that piece is now cleared. Not the water part, but the surface problem, and that's about 40-some percent of the property. The other side, we excavated a big hole there, large hole, and stockpiled all the dirt over there, cleaned, overburdened, and the whole time this filtration system was operating, pneumatic pumps on seven wells. We did daily monitoring of the gallons. It was reported to John Maharis. The quarterlies were done by H2O Geo, and everything was really close to being done. If they had the money, it could have been completed in a few months. We left the stockpiles on the property when it was transferred. The pumps were operating. I just happened to come back through there one day, and I didn't have anything to do with the transfer, but... came back through there when we had possession of the thing, and they had a front loader, knocked down all the carbon vessels, all the piping to the pumps, knocked over all the well heads. When that was going on, I called John, reported it to you guys, to San Luis Obispo, hoping they would try and stop that operation. I could do nothing about it. I couldn't get in the middle of it. So then they ended up pushing all the piles together, clean and dirty, fill in the hole that we just excavated with all this garbage, And now we've got our last estimate from our consultant, Gary Lowe, said just in a flyby, because he knew what was there before. He did all the testing, and he knew what piles were clean and what they put together, and he estimates it closer to $2.5 million from this point on, just for the dirt. We also outhauled about $300,000 worth of dirt to Kettleman and spent another $300,000, and this is something Nancy missed, but not her fault. We had $300,000 that was due to the city of Morgan Hill for the industrial development assessment district, and that was going into foreclosure with the city. We paid that off, the $300,000. We begged and borrowed the steel to keep the site in our control, to keep this thing rolling. So it's a sad thing to tell where it is right now, but all the wellheads are gone, or maybe there may be something under the ground here and there, but they have to be relocated, and they've done that. I mean, we had satellite locations, so that we know exactly where they are even today. All the wells that had pumps in them still do. The pumps are in there at the bottom of the wells. And so I don't know what it's going to take to do it. I haven't been out there. And I got one other just quick comment. Mr. Tansey complains about all this, but in the meantime, he's collecting rents from that property. As far as I know, it's 100% occupied. And that's substantial income. I think he's not giving you the right picture of the deal. But anyway, that's it. And if you have any questions, I can answer them for you. Anything else?
Any questions?
The one thing I wanted to mention that's important. These fines were assessed for the purpose of getting us to get busy, to do something. They were suspended as long as we were doing the work. All through the time that we had control of that property, we did the work. So saying that we technically, yeah, we violated the agreement after we lost possession of the property, but not during. And every time that we were threatened or whatever, and with good reason, we were slow in doing stuff. We didn't have that much money, so we had to wait different segments. And then we did a lot of screening of the people that were working on the property beforehand. We also did a couple biotreatment deals there with the company, and that took 6-8 months. Didn't work out. But anyway, so the spirit of us fulfilling the desire of the board was there, and we continued to keep the work going throughout the time we had possession. So technically, yeah, after we're gone, it got violated. But while we're there, it was in compliance. And so I think you should take into consideration that while we had possession of the property, we did fulfill the terms of these requirements of the agreement and any other fines and stuff. Anyway, that's it. So
okay.
Any questions?
Thank you for your comments.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think that some of the board members have alluded to what's before us today. We've heard a lot of testimony this morning, but I think we shouldn't be involved in that portion of it because it's going to be a lot of legal determination and processes. So I think what we should do is come back to the original issue is to uphold the executive officer's determination regarding this settlement. And I don't know if any other board member was present when we heard this some years ago. I was. It's a classic situation where people inherit property or partners in a piece of property that has contamination, and they run out of money. But I think the issue before us is that there was a violation in the agreement, and I would move that we uphold the executive officer determination regarding the settlement agreement.
What about as to the dollar amount?
Well, I think there's a question of the dollar amount, and I think there's some other legal questions that need to be resolved, and I would expect that our board attorney and maybe the attorney general's office could clarify that. I'm not equipped to clarify that. I don't think we have enough information here today to make that decision, And I don't think that's really our decision totally, because there's so many other issues that make this a very complex puzzle to resolve. So I think the first part, that we need to keep this process going, is to uphold Mr. Briggs' determination.
If I could just add a suggestion as far as the motion is to include some language about to collect the appropriate amount.
I would surely add that.
But make it clear that we're not deciding
waiving
on the amount.
Yeah.
And
as a point of clarification, we do still have the same legal counsel at Department of Justice as was party to the original settlement agreement. So we are still working with the same parties. We have some continuity there, which is nice.
Okay.
Mr. O'Malley? Question. So what we are approving or not is this original $85,000 penalty plus accrued interest. Whether we support that or not as part of this order has nothing to do with the cleanup being enforced.
I think what we're doing is simply upholding the executive officer's determination that the settlement agreement has been violated.
Right. What the settlement agreement says is the executive officer can send a letter that says you're out of compliance, and at that point, money is owing. Your decision, and then they can appeal to this board, and that is to determine whether the executive officer abused his discretion in finding that they didn't comply with the order. So that's all you're doing. Did Mr. Briggs abuse his discretion by saying the parties to this agreement
are in violation?
Are in violation of
the. And that was my motion to uphold his decision.
Right.
But I just want to make sure that we're leaving the determination of any penalties to the next phase of this. So,
given the limitations of what's before us and your interpretation, I'll second the motion.
Okay.
And that includes the changes that Mr. Briggs proposed in
the appropriate amount.
Not
right.
The dollar
yeah.
amount.
Yeah. Right.
Because I think there's a real question as to how interest should be computed. And
correct.
I know that with civil judgments in California, interest is computed simple interest. It's not compounded.
Agreed. We will discuss that with Department of Justice.
I'm not going to try to interpret this any further than that, but that would be a concern of mine.
Can I just restate the motion to make
sure
it's clear? So what I understand the motion is the board moves to uphold the executive officer's decision that the parties to the settlement agreement are not in compliance with that settlement agreement, and that the AG should proceed to assess the appropriate amount consistent with the agreement. Is that?
Yes.
Adequate?
Consistent with the agreement and
yes.
other equities that may come before them.
Okay.
And state law.
Yes.
Oh, and state law. And federal and federal law.
No, just state law. Okay. So that the motion has been restated. Is that fine with you?
That's correct.
Okay. And we have a second?
I think Mr. O'Malley did.
Mr. O'Malley, you seconded. Mr. Hodgin did also. Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.